Look at this. I'm fucking prepared as a motherfucker. Look at this.
Okay. Let's just have a good conversation. You know, all right.
CJ Kelly. This is Highway Diary, episode 193. I'm just checking the levels right now. Yep. Yeah, that looks okay. With CJ Kelly. How you doing, buddy?
I am great. Eric, I love you to death. You've been so nice to me.
Oh, thank you.
We're sitting here smoking a joint in your car.
That's right.
It's amazing. I got a nice water you gave me. And you've always just been so, like a good friend of me. You
thank
know, you.
You
really have. Even though we've only hung out a couple times, it's like, you know, especially in L.A., people just get so fucking, it's cliquey high school shit. You know, and I'm 28. I don't necessarily consider myself a millennial.
Right. I'm 32, you know.
Yeah, we would have been in high school together.
Right.
I would have been a freshman. You would have been picking me up and taking me out just like, you know, dazed and confused.
Yeah. I would have been like, hey, man, there's a rock concert in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Let's drop acid and meet cool people.
I mean, I love acid, but me and my friends would, like, I've done acid over 20 times in my life. I just think it's so funny when people act like that on acid, because when I get on acid, I get squirrely. I'm like,
yeah.
I go into my, like, I'm like, I wish someone would fuck me right now. I used to wrestle in high school, blah, blah, blah. I just,
you
like,
just get weird. You start pulling shapes?
Not shapes. I love to be the funny guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'd make up dances at festivals, like, called the box, where you just kind of make your hand as a box, and then you pass it to someone, and they dance with it.
Right.
Some imaginary box, you know?
So you can be, like, a mime. You're like, hey, we're breaking out of this. Hey, this is just our world.
Yeah, but it's also like I'm from the East Coast, so I'm not going to be like, yeah, man, I found out the fucking universe. It was I mean, I did, but I'm not going to talk like that. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to keep some of those secrets when you
meet. It's not really a secret. It's just like, like, we met this one kid who's like, yeah, man, take some acid, get all chotched up. And we just thought that was so funny. So the whole running joke the whole night was we'd all be chotched up.
Yeah,
and I'd just run up to my friends and go, Joni loves chachi. You know, on like six hits of acid, like just having a good time. Yeah,
that's really just like the next level of chachin', bro.
Mm-hmm.
When did we meet? I guess we met, I remember meeting you definitely here at the Actors Studio. This is called the...
Next Stage Theater
open mic, which is
Was it here or did we meet at Flappers or something?
Well, we met at Flappers, but also the Ice House Pasadena at
when we did our audition. Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
that was good too, yeah.
And, you know...
I think you did my mic, though, when I had it here, right?
No? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And awesome. Then also we saw each other recently at that other open mic randomly. Mm-hmm. Well, actually at the Comedy Store. Uh-huh. And then we said, hey, let's run over to this other mic. You know, you're just hustling. I like your comedy style.
Thank you.
You know, I think some people, when they're on stage, they're trying to, like, look right about stuff. They're trying to, like, have smart opinions. And what I like about you on stage is you're, like, a very no-holds-barred, like, I'm a fucking degenerate. This is what's going on with my life. I like titties and I like ice cream, and it's going to be a party right now.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, let me make something political about, hey, did you see Hillary's...
Yeah. It's like, especially when you look like me and, like, you look like a young Kevin Spacey, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true.
I look like some sort of, like, white fuckhead, but it's like, you know, I did have a felony in the past. And it's been 10 years, so everything's good now. But it's like, you know, I grew up in South Florida where there was a lot of drugs readily available, and I got into that whole thing as a younger man. Thank God it's been 6 years, closer to seven now than since I've touched anything like that. But I like to have a good time and drink and smoke weed, and I get up there, and I'm not going to frickin' tell jokes about how I'm so guilty about being white, because really, I'm 25% Armenian. But do you see me bragging about it on stage? Fuck no, because I look like this. I look Irish.
So you're from Boston. Or no, Florida?
I was born in Boston.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in South Florida, though. My father was a fisherman. So by the time I was about 5 years old, we had settled in Florida. And so before that time, my dad would leave out of Boston, right? He had a condo with my mom in Boston. He would take his boat down to the Florida Keys. It would take about 10 days, right? We'd stop. I specifically remember stopping places. We'd stop at a dock. My mom would walk me across the street, get me McDonald's. Because it wasn't like people say, oh, it must be nice growing up on a 78-foot boat. It's like my parents are renting two different places, and this isn't a yacht. It's a 78-foot fishing boat. It has a huge hull. It has a huge crank on the back. You know what I mean?
So you lived in a boat?
I mean, yeah.
How many years?
Up until, like I said, eventually when I was 5, my mom's like, we're moving to West Palm Beach because my friend Gina from Quincy says it's gorgeous. Okay? We're selling the boat. You know, she was just like over it.
Yeah.
My mom's 10 years younger than my dad. I mean, they've been divorced for like 12 years now, but like, that's the story or the bit, I guess. It's not really even a bit. It's just really what happened.
How did he lure your mom? Like, what was his moves?
So my dad's first wife that he met in the Keys. So my dad made his money painting the White House. My grandpa was a World War II hero, friends of the Kennedys, yada, yada, yada. Was one of the shortest pilots ever to fly. This is before the Air Force. And he flew planes in World War II. Survived. A piece of shrapnel flew through the right side of the plane, right? A bomb that went off, landed 2 inches, not even 2 inches above his head, and lodged into the side of the plane. As soon as he landed, he plucked it out with a fucking knife, put it in his front pocket, and my dad and me still have that, and his helmet. His helmet for flying a plane looked like a football helmet from the 50s. It was leather and had an old school auxiliary jack. But anyway, so my dad painted the White House, made about 500 grand back in, because my dad dropped out of college, you know. He had a man bun before it was cool. He had a beard, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He was the first man bun?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying he fished in Boston and stuff, but he didn't get to live his dreams, you know, so as soon as he got that gig, he got paid, you know, because he had to hire everyone. It was all union, you know. He painted the White House, the Library of Congress, and the Capitol building. All And he said after everything was sent out in taxes, he made about 500 grand. So he bought an older boat, a 78-foot boat, and just said, fuck it, you know, went to Florida. And then eventually my mom's like, my two sisters came along later. She's like, we're selling the boat. I'm not raising 3 kids on a boat, you fucking... She's like, who do you think you are, Jimmy Buffett? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, they were like, always... bitch, you bought the boat. Yeah, I'm Jimmy Buffett.
So, yeah, then I grew up in Florida, but I started comedy in Boston. So I moved to Boston in 2012, and that's when I started doing comedy.
Do you go to college, Tom?
I went to a college called Full Sail University.
Oh, okay, for like TV film production.
In Orlando, Florida. No, I went for recording arts. I originally wanted to make video games. I was like, this is my calling, because I didn't graduate high school. I got a GED.
Oh, okay.
I was fucking up on the drugs and stuff in Florida.
You know, it's Florida. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? That's Florida. So I'm the weirdest Boston, Florida hybrid you've ever met. Like, the accent, like, I have it as a kid, but, like... it's not that I fake it. It comes out when I get hammered sometimes.
Right, right, right.
Just like my mom. But it's like, yeah, Full Sail was good, man. So I was like, I want to make video games. And I got a GED, right? So I go, he's getting to school. And then they're like, Calculus 2 was just like a prerequisite just to even code or make games. And I was like... I can't even do algebra.
You're like, I like jerking off to anime porn. Can I get hired here?
No. I was like, I just want to be the Steve Jobs of video games and just come up with all the ideas and you guys make it happen. Yeah, they're like, look, not happening.
I'm not the execution man. I'm the ideas. I'm like the overall guy.
Yeah.
See, there's like different levels to a pyramid. What if I was just at the top tomorrow, though? I don't know all this calculus noise.
This calculus noise. Well, that's why I switched to recording arts, because I'd been playing drums since I was 11.
Yeah.
Right? I went to a Christian school growing up, which, by the way, still I don't care what anyone says. I mean, I have my own version of Christianity. I think it's all the same bullshit, whatever, same story, split 3 different ways. I think it's more of like Jedi versus Sith. It's like be a good person or be a bad person.
Right, right. Right side, dark side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like if you finger bang someone, make sure you get consent.
Yeah,
you know
of course, I mean? Of course. Yeah, speaking of which, back in Boston, we go every summer. That was one of my best experiences of my life. This girl I was dating all summer, let me finger bang her in the sand dunes, and it was great.
Fucking Irish girls, right?
Oh, yeah, I love them. Well, I don't.
The Red Beaver?
Anytime I hear a girl with a real Boston accent, like, oh my god, you're wicked hot, it just reminds me of my mom, my aunts, and everyone else, and I go, oh, get away from me, you know?
Put it in my ass in my backyard.
Let me finish.
Put it in my mom's backyard, put it in my tuckus,
though. Call the back door.
I drank coffee. This is romantic for me.
But yeah, so I went from video game switch to recording arts because I had been playing a couple instruments. I'm a bit of a musician myself. But yeah, all right. So I'll never use that degree ever. But you know.
You mentioned casually, like, we were putting our names in buckets and stuff. I actually didn't put... I'm focused on this podcast now, but you put your name in the bucket, and you're like, I don't know if they'll pick my name. They don't like me here at the next stage. What's going on? Do you have some beef here?
Oh, nothing. Not at all. I just think it's, like, random, but it's also... It might not be random, and that just goes for every single open mic in L.A., and it's the real thing. Certain places do the real thing, and you can tell... You can tell the Telsale Hooters is great. Shout out to all of them. Literally.
Yeah. Steven, but you were talking about, like, I know.
No, because they actually don't look and they go in there, but you know.
No, I hear you. So you're saying is that they fairly draw.
Yeah,
the
but
names.
They also have a list and they go, yeah, no, but that's fine. I ran my mic here too. I did it myself. It's like, well, not really did it myself, but it was like whoever's my co-host, like, people just come up, can I get up? Yeah, sure. And then people get bumped and people get mad. And it's just the fucking game, and it's high school bullshit, yeah. And I'm sick of it. I'm 28. That's why I hang out with older people, you know what I mean? Yeah, I hang out with my best friends and older people. I'm friendly with everyone. I'm never a mean guy. I do like to drink, but I'm a happy drunk. I'm not ever a mean... Have you ever seen me be mean or aggressive towards anybody?
I just saw you give a bunch of people hugs outside.
Exactly. So it's like, yeah, people like to criticize me because I need to slow down and I'm drinking, but it's like... Yeah. You only see me 3 nights a week, maybe on my days off, when I'm working my ass off to pay for my rent in Burbank, you know?
Oh, okay.
But it's...
What do you do for a living out here?
I work at a Mexican wood-fired grill restaurant in the Burbank area.
Hey, listen. You're funny as fuck. You're doing what you have to do to make it to the next level.
Yeah.
I
take control, please. Sorry. I've been going to... That's
okay.
We just smoked the joint now.
I know. So, I guess you were saying about, I don't want no high school bullshit. Do you know what I did recently on this podcast?
What?
Someone got creepy with my girlfriend 15 years ago when I was in high school. Yeah, that's fine. And I called them on the podcast. I had to, like, take their name out. But I was like, hey, you remember when you got creepy with my girlfriend back in high school? What the fuck, man? I can't let things go.
Well, that's what I like about you, too. You're like me, though. You've been through some shit, and I see it through your stand-up. But it's like, you're a little bit older, but it's like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all.
Right.
It's like, I never had brothers growing up. I only had sisters, you know what I mean?
I've been through some shit, so I just, like, look at this, like, from, okay, what am I going to get out of this? How fair is this? What's going on?
Well, there's just so many white fucking nerds that go up here in L.A., and they go, oh, and I am so witty and smart, and this and that. It's like, just be yourself on stage, you know? And that's what you do, and you're great, man. That's what I think is so funny. But you actually write jokes. I just remember everything in my head, and I go, okay, I'm gonna... Well, I do actually write them down, but I just write, like, a sentence, a premise, and then I go, I can turn that into something.
Yeah, for me, it's like there's definitely spur of the moment, and, like, going with a vibe and a flow, and then there's, like, another style where you're, like, you write the jokes. And I try to basically write everything out. But I only follow, like, an improv track like that if I have to react to the audience doing something I didn't expect.
Yeah. Well, if I'm doing a book show, I'm just going to go do what I know that works every time. You know, and people say it's hack stuff.
I guess what I'm asking is, would you ever call someone after 15 years and go, what the fuck?
I think you should beat them up, dude. Person. Who cares? It's like, what, you go to jail for a day?
All right, you know.
I got your back.
I forgot you were from Florida, so there's just like a
well,
difference.
Really, listen, I grew up in Florida, but Boston, I had a Drew Bledsoe jersey growing up, Pedro Martinez, Nomar Garcia Parra, all right? You're going to bring them
on. Just extreme people because of the weather.
I know, but I have more of a connection to Boston because that's where I started doing comedy.
Right.
But also, we visit every year. I know my cousins very, very well. You know, I'm going to my sister. My sister grew up in Florida, too. Met a guy from Boston in college, and her wedding's in May. And she wants me to kick off the reception with some jokes, and I'm like...
Wow, that's a tough gig.
No, it's not. I'm going to just shit on my dad. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, but are there
my dad's
be like,
side of the family, not my dad, because I love my dad to death. But, like, we'll see. I don't
know. Are there
going to
be 5- and 7-year-old kids in the audience, so you can't...
Yeah, but I'll be clean. I'll be so funny. It doesn't matter, dude. I'm more of a host than a personality than anything, you know? Yeah, and I want to be a producer at the end of the day.
Right.
Just because I like getting everything organized and sending...
A film producer?
Emails. We'll, you know, start little first, you know? Work my way up. But
just like a off-Broadway
at the end of the day,
I'd
like to be
theater.
Like Adam Sandler, have my own production company, employ me and my friends for the next 20 fucking years because I'm 28. But it's like, you know, that's you know, they say shoot for the stars. Yeah, that would be it. But I'm not saying it's going to be that. It might be. Who knows? But it's just about getting out there and having friends like you, like people we can actually trust and like hang out together, you know?
Yeah.
Like have a good time together and not just like fake shake people's hands and like they don't even look you in the eye, dude. I don't know if it's an East Coast thing or if it's like a fucking LA thing.
I coined this term back in New Orleans where I was doing a lot of stand up, when I was getting my fucking master in screenwriting at the University of New Orleans, and I did fucking 6 shows a night out there. But I realized that some comics are like social mathematicians, and some comics are like comics, where social mathematicians are more, they're very careful on stage to look cute and smart and oh, I had skinny jeans and I had all the liberal ideas. and then they are also like, because they don't have their own opinions, right? Then like who they're friends with is very much like who's the majority of other people think is popular. That's who I'm going to be friends with, right? And I think that's even more true in L.A. To some degree where, you know, like we go to the comedy store. We try to get on stage on potluck and it's really like who knows who gets in at the back door, who, you know. Like 300 people sign up on a list to get on the open mic and like 20 people get on and 280 people go home. So I'm really looking at, I'm trying to be like a time mathematician. What is worth my time? What, you know what I mean?
Just working on your craft.
Yeah, you know?
Also going there, I mean, it's tough. I don't really know. I'm super new to everything. But, you know, I just consistently keep signing up every week. Hopefully they'll notice one time, you know. And then sometimes you got to know when to bend the knee. And it's not like bending the knee. Like, there's so many people that they're getting opportunities to. And it's a great club. So...
I love
that.
The comedy store.
Yeah, we all.
I just want to practice. I want as much practice as possible.
That's why we go to the next stage here and smoke joints of the car and drink a beer and have a good time.
Yeah, talk.
Absolutely.
I like this this mic over here. Next stage, we're on La Brea Avenue, looking in this little strip mall here.
But yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, we won't even say what day it is, but it's like, yeah, no, they like me. I mean, most people do like me, but I'm just such like a self-deprecating motherfucker that like, you know, I'm fucking out here drinking beer, smoking weed, because it's my day off.
Look, do you know, I used to be in this screenwriter group called Deadline Junkies, and they kicked me out for just that. I would smoke some weed, I'd walk in a Deadline Junkies, and where, like, all these actors would read people's scripts, and that we would take turns having the actors read our scripts, you know? So I was a member of this, but they stopped, they banned me, because I would, like, smoke some weed, I'd drink some beer, I'd walk in, and then my notes were too harsh. They didn't like when they wanted like hobby level notes. If you're like, yo, okay, this character is actually terrible, and your plot doesn't track. Like, how about your foundation of your plot builds instead of not, you know? So there was a lot of problems with Deadline Junkies, but they banned me ultimately because I gave too hard of notes, and they blame the pot. They're like, oh, he gets stoned and he walks in. It's like, bitch, I have a master in screenwriting. You know, I could teach college screenwriting at any college in the Western world. I'm going to give you some notes that are hard. Like, if you have to rewrite the whole thing, you fucking should. You fucking should. You're going to send around a script to agents and then they're going to read like garbage. Like, you know, so I would be... I was trained at the Upright Citizens Brigade, And UCB. I remember
I did classes at the Groundlings.
I did UCB but, in New York when I was I went to a new school in New
York. Well, I got my start at Improv Boston. I did 101 through 601 and
it's important, those skills, yeah, the improv skills.
But it's like that was Herald, you know what New York Herald is? Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was at the Groundlings, it was more or less like character based, which I'm cool with too cuz I love doing that shit too.
So let me the first time I ever auditioned for a Herald team at the UCB, I didn't make it. I didn't make it. And then I went to go see that team do their first show. And they bombed terribly. And Jason Mantzoukas got up on... cheers.
Drink that and then drink it.
Jason, I'm sorry. Listen to me. Jason, stop touching my drink. Jason Mantzoukas went up after the fucking Herald team bombed. And he goes... That scene was terrible. That scene. Look, if you do another bad show like that, you're going to get fucking... You're not going to have a show at the UCB anymore.
Yeah.
That was the worst premiere ever. And then he went through and he goes, you guys were at a Chinese restaurant and you're just ordering the waiter around instead of having conflict between you. The next scene was in a park. Blah, blah, blah. He just went through every scene and ripped it apart. And everything he said was correct.
Yeah.
And then I go to Deadline Junkies and I go... That's terrible. That's and they go, you're banned. You can't talk like that to us. Yeah, you stoned menace.
Yeah. I mean, at Improv Boston, I'm not going to name names. I had some great teachers. I had some really great teachers. I don't want to say names, but it's like one teacher specifically would always just be like, oh, see, that was really funny. But what you should have said was, it's like, don't tell me to fucking, like, I've been freestyle rapping since I was younger, watching 106 and Park and BET, and it's like, you know, I'm not like some wannabe Eminem, whatever, but I have ADD, and I think that's why I'm so good at improv. But the thing is, I did improv for 2 years, and I'd always do a monologue to start off the show, the Herald, let me get some topics, you know? One of the ones was, I don't want to get too far into it, but they go, summer, and I go, one summer... When I was 6 years old, my parents had a party. I exited my room. I walked into the kitchen. And everyone was naked with masquerade masks. And they were playing pin the tail on the donkey. My mother was the donkey. And like, you just break down and cry, you know? And like, yeah. Obviously we're high, so I'm not gonna fucking sell it to you like that. But it's like, you know, just like shit like that. They're like, dude, you gotta do stand-up. And I knew I wanted to do stand-up since I was literally probably in fifth grade. Once I was, like, old enough to understand everything with my friend's old brother I was smoking weed with. I smoked weed at 11, you know what I mean? Like, my dude, that was the best, too. My mom goes, she grabbed me by the collar. She was an EMT and a paramedic, and then eventually became a nurse later. But she lifts me up off the wall. I hadn't hit puberty yet. I was fucking tiny.
She's a tough bitch,
too. Oh, yeah. Lifts me up right against the wall by the collar of my fucking shirt. She goes, this is a conversation I should be having with my 16-year-old. Not my fucking 11-year-old. Boom, toss me. And I was just like, oh my God. So then I learned to play the game where you just like stand on either side of the table. You know what I mean?
So you just hit it better. You hid your weed, you hit
it. Well, the only reason I got caught is because this kid named Quinn... A.K.A. Quinn the Queer. Yeah. He wasn't even gay. He was just... That's not what I mean by any of that. But it's like just the East Coast coming at me. But it's like... Quinn was 16. I was 11. He was wrong in that part. And he his mom. And then his mom told my mom. She's like, are you high? And I was like, no. What are you talking about? And she's like, well, Quinn said you did it. And I was like, are you fucking kidding
me? What a narc.
At least when I was 11. Dude, yeah. I don't know. By the... Like... I'm weird. I'm not a millennial. I'm 28. So, like, by the time I was 11, dude, my friend's older brothers, I knew about sex. Like, I didn't have sex until I was, like, 18, by the way.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, I could, like... We used to have to pass around VHS tapes that our friends had. You know what I mean?
That was your poor dad.
Yeah, because I had my little TV in my room. Tiny old TV with the VHS on the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'd wait till, like, my parents went out on a date night or whatever, and my sisters were on the other side of the house, like, whatever. And, like, yeah, pop a little... And then, but I was the asshole that broke it. Because I kept it up in the top of my closet, but my closet had a tile. And I dropped it once, and I smashed it. And
oh, the porn. I know. And you have to bury it.
But we got it from my friend's mom. So she didn't know we had it, but she just had so much of the shit.
Oh, she had a lot of porn?
Dude, they owned the ale houses. You ever heard of, like, ale house?
Is it like a chain of restaurant?
Kind of. I'm not going to say what. But, yeah, dude. That same lady stole pills from my mom when my mom got in a car accident. Me and her son were hanging out. All of a sudden, this lady, Kathy, I don't care. I'll say her fucking name. She actually did. It's been 20 years. Kathy goes in my mom, in the kitchen medicine cabinet, takes my mom's pills of Vicodin after a car accident, and then just leaves and takes her daughter, who's like 4 at the time. And then me and Tyler are still playing video games. My mom comes out and goes, "Where'd your mom go?" And he goes, "Oh, I don't know." And she checks and she goes, "That son of a bitch." She knew, though, that the reason Kathy was at my fucking house was because Ron, her husband, right, fucking had his boss there, and they're hanging out drinking, and they did want to have a guy's night at their house. So it was like 3 houses down. You know what I mean?
See, one Florida bitch learned that there's pills at
no,
Florida.
No, no, no. They had a
house.
Lot of money. She's like a drug addict, dude. Would smoke, dude. Her she had so many cigarette butts in her car. Like, I mean, it sucks. And Ron, after Ron found that out, my mom told her the next day he divorced her. Good for him. Fucking fuck that bitch. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that.
Did you have any creepy uncles?
No, actually.
Was there like the perv of the block?
No uncles, but, like, all my dad's friends were really, like, not, like, really cool. I call some of my dad's friends my uncles, but really, right. My dad is the only boy in his family. 4 girls and him. I'm the only boy. I have 2 younger sisters and 1 older half-sister. So it was, like, my mom's side of the family, though, there's 3 boys, 3 girls. And all my uncles, like, my mom's side of the family loves me. Really, my dad's side of the family treats my mom's side of the family as trailer trash because my mom's 10 years younger than he is, you know?
Yeah.
And she's from Quincy, and she's, you know, she looks like Lois Griffin besides the Junos, and she's a real fiery fucking, you know, tough lady. And, yeah, like, dude, honestly, I was, like, too embarrassed to ask my dad to shave, so I went up to my mom, and I was like, "I'm growing peach fuzz. Can you help me shave?" And my mom's like, "You know, you should probably ask your dad about this." I'm like, "Yeah, but I don't really want to right now." My dad looks like Danny DeVito, but he's about the size of Peter Griffin, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
You know, he's just like, talks out of the side of his mouth, you know, and I'm like, but no, I love my dad. Love you, Dad. Shout out to you. You're the
Why
best.
Are you shaving? You're shaving his waiter? What is he asking us?
Nah, it's more or less like, "Hey, Debbie, what are you doing over there? What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm fucking making pasta." No, it's different accents. My mom's accent is different than his. But, hell yeah, man. What were we getting off topic on? I had a point to make.
Just all your uncles and all your...
Oh, yeah, so, oh, man. All my uncles on my mom's side of the family are really cool. I have no uncles on my dad's side of the family. Just like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I got an Uncle David, Uncle Buddy, Uncle Steven. Uncle Steven's kids are getting older now. I love Uncle Steven. My Uncle Steven was like, worked out a lot as a short, stocky guy. And he worked at a hospital as a maintenance man. And he married a nurse. And I love all of you so much. You have a beautiful family. But I used to be like, to my dad's side of family, sometimes when they'd sleep over, like, I'd be like, "My Uncle Steven's so strong, he can lift the refrigerator with his pinky." Like, you know?
You would tell tall tales about him.
Yeah.
He wants ripped the goat in half.
Because, like, he would, I specifically remember him just, like, taking me to the Rapids Water Park in West Palm Beach, Florida. Just me and him having a blast all day. I was maybe, like, 13 at the time, 12, 13. We were fucking killing it, you know? And, yeah, my Uncle Steven was always really there. And my Uncle David is more the gangster type. Buddy's doing great, too. He's been married years. His kids are in their 20s now.
Yeah.
But my Uncle David apparently was the only uncle that went to jail. And but he, like, grows pot, hasn't been married yet, you know. But he was never a weird guy at all. fucking always super cool, you know. One time he shaved, I didn't recognize him. Once he's like, "It's me, Uncle Dave." I was like, "I'm sorry, Uncle Dave. I didn't grow up in Boston." No, but no, I've seen.
Can you tell me, teach me how to shave?
No way. Cause like I grew up in Florida. No, I did ask. No, my dad showed me. That my mom looked at me and she was like, "Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen," you know.
What if you asked your mom to, like, shave your legs? And then what...
My mom would have been like, "You're fucking queer." No, dude, that's so funny, though. I go, my dad lives in the Florida Keys. And I go, "Dad, you gonna visit me in L.A.?" He goes, "Nah, too many queers." And I go, "Dad, you live in fucking Key West. What do you mean?"
I know, it's just old people and queers. Yeah. And you're an old guy, so.
Yes. And he's like, no, really, he's just afraid of flying now because of his heart surgery. But it's like, he can't even go on the boat anymore. He doesn't have a boat anymore, you know. I go, "Dad, come on my buddy Kai's boat. Come on one more time." Because my dad's like legendary down there. My dad almost ran for mayor down there. You know?
Just why is that? He's just a popular guy who would go...
He's a short... Yeah, he's a funny... Yeah, he's just a... He's... That's why I did comedy. My dad showed me motherfucking... Dude, my dad took me to see George Carlin when I was 15. You know, and they're like, "Are you sure your son's coming in?" My dad's like, "Absolutely." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He showed me Chris Rock. I had Chris Rock, Bigger and Blacker on CD. I'd listen to it on the way to school when he drive me. You know? He loved Rodney Dangerfield, everything else.
Dude, when I was 16, 17, my dad would take me to the Comedy Cellar in New York City when we would see David Tell and Jim Norton and Patrice O'Neill and Greg Giraldo and Mitch Hedberg.
See, he wouldn't do, like, take me to comedy clubs, but if it was, like, a big event type of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's right down the street. We would always visit Boston.
When the comics would tour through.
In the summer in Boston. Yeah. So I got, you know, he took me to see Dan Cook, too, because I liked him at the time. I was 16. Fucking sue me. No, I'm just kidding. Dan Cook, I still like. I don't care what anyone says.
I think with Dan Cook, his performance and his emotion, he's not maybe the best joke writer, but he's one of the best performers.
He can
sell a joke like a motherfucker.
Exactly.
And well, it's
an art form.
You got to put that in your game. You got to learn why it's working. You got to look around and not hate on people, unless they're stealing jokes. But if you're writing your own material, you know, and you become successful, you got to study how people do it, and then copy how they did it.
I move around a lot. They have. I move around a lot, and you see me go, "What's going on? I just did a fucking line of cocaine." Which I may or may not have, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. It's all an act, and you know, I like to get the energy up. That's why I like to be a host, you know, and I like to fucking, I get up there, I'll get the energy going, you know. You've seen it, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Some people hate it, like, "Oh, it's so hack." It's like, well, all right, thanks for that. We're at open mics. What do you expect?
So my dad came to visit when I was in New Orleans, and we did this roast, like a going away roast. Well, I moved here, and my friend DC Paul told this story about about me offering him a joint, that snow cap, and he's like, "What's snow cap?" And he's like, "Oh, there's cocaine in it," and that's totally true. I bought cocaine once. I did cocaine like 5 times in my life.
I hate it.
But one time, I definitely rolled a joint with cocaine in it. And then my fucking friend DC Paul blows me up my spot up in front of my dad. That motherfucker. My dad didn't know that until you said it at the roast, you piece of shit. I thought we had some secret times, DC Paul. But then there's a roast.
Smoked it dirty. That's what they call him.
Roast.
Call him dirty.
That motherfucker. No, I love you, DC Paul. I got punched in the face the other day.
Why? By who?
Okay, here's what happened. I'm from New Jersey. When I see shit, I call it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, same here.
I was in a sauna in Canoga Park, LA Fitness. A steam room in LA Fitness. And the guy next to me, there's signs everywhere. No shaving, no shaving, no shaving. The guy next to me takes that razor, he starts shaving his face. I go, "Buddy, you can't shave in here." You know, it's like his stubble's getting on me. And, like, let's say he has a little disease or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you
might be gay, he might have AIDS. That's what's wrong with
him. Right. But he might have a prolapsed colon. Yeah, it's not my judgment. But all I'm saying is, you shave with no, like, sink. around.
It's disgusting.
In a steam room.
Disgusting.
You know, you sit down, you get his stubble on the back of your fucking leg. I'm like, yo, you can't shave in here. He's like, what are you going to do about it? I'm like,
wait, what?
He's like, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, you should have taken your towel off and just choked him out with the dick out and everything.
Well, look at this. Look at this shirt
oh,
I have.
Sorry, no, go on. Sorry.
You know, I trained some Muay Thai.
Yeah.
This is an older guy. Oh, I'm like, man. Come on, man. Look, there's I just start pointing. There's signs right here. You just can't shave. He said, I say, what are you going to do about it? I go, buddy, listen, you just can't. And he just... He's sitting to the left of me. He just goes, bah, like fucking...
Like a jab?
Yeah, like... He wasn't standing up, so he didn't have his body weight in a punch.
And you just looked at him?
Yeah, but I was like, what the fuck? So I just stood up. I squared up with him. And I watch him. He steps out, down... Now, we're both wearing sandals. We're both in, like, little
you
underwear.
You kicked them sandals off, mean business.
No, but it's also slippery as fuck because it's a steam room. It's just wet tiles everywhere.
Oh, shit.
So, also, as he's stepping down, he's so fucking, like, old. I'm like, I'm going to kill this guy. Also, because if, let's say the best case scenario, I left hook him, right cross, boom, knock him cold out. He falls back. It's stairs of concrete.
Oh,
he's going to crack the corner of his head. You know what I mean?
You should have just fucked him.
You could die. I know. I should have just...
So you just said fuck you and walked out?
No. So I just squared up and then some like guy who's way bigger than both of us came in between.
Was his dick out?
Yeah. So I sucked it out of respect because he's the biggest guy in the room. So you have to... You know, it's like prison rules.
He's like, hey, man, stop.
No, well, he just got
he just grabs both your heads and fucking puts them in your lap.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, I'm just kidding.
And then I
don't do saunas.
We made love. But I
you gotta know when to pick and choose your battles.
You know, but it's like, it's so dangerous. Thank God that guy got in between us because literally there was he just kept walking toward me. I was about to knee him, but I wanted to kind of like, if he punches me when we're sitting down and then punches me again and I counter, bop, 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 then I feel like, okay, look, I had to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to like throw the first.
Bro, if he punched you sitting down, you should have just been like, whop.
Yeah, dude.
Elbow to the face.
Buddy, do you know how many different clenches I
know.
Could do?
I don't know shit. I play a lot of Grand Theft Auto.
But also, just when he was just walking down, I was like, this guy is going to be murdered right now.
You committed a hate crime.
Yeah, and he was a black guy, too, which is like, it wasn't a
black-white
thing.
No, fuck that.
It was
just,
about,
no,
don't shave.
Listen, I understand. It's like, some people just think that, I don't know, people think that just because you might be a certain race that you're more susceptible of being a bitch or something. Hold on. Yo, what's up, buddy? I'm downstairs. I'm doing a podcast right now, and you're ruining it. We're recording.
Did they call your name?
All right. Did they call me?
All right.
Doesn't matter. Sorry. I'm not that important.
But
no,
yeah,
so
I'm like...
So douchey, edit that out, please. Actually, don't. That's CJ Kelly. You know, I'm sorry. It's not a persona. It's really who I am. I'm just like,
you know, he's a little loopy. Everything's cool. Listen, but I'm like the asshole who actually calls someone after 15 years. I was like, I'm still mad about that. I'm the asshole who actually like goes, you can't shave in here. I think a lot of people just go through life in quiet desperation.
You know what I mean? Just don't want to cause any problems because they're from LA. Yeah. Maybe not.
I got banned from this club called the High
Ho. It's called freedom of speech. Say whatever you want to someone.
Yeah.
And if they're going to get in a fight with you, whatever. Like, listen, I know people are going to beat my ass, but I guarantee I'm going to get one or two shots in. I'm going to hurt you somehow. You know what I mean? And if I lose, I lose. You know what I mean? But like,
dang. Have you been in fights?
Well, I wrestled in high school, and then I've been jumped before. That really sucked. And
you just got mugged?
No. It was, we were at the movie theater, and this one kid started getting beaten up. We were, like, 16, and, like, two or three of us jumped in, but it was, like, a good, like, seven or eight people that just, like, fucked us all up, you know? But one-on-one, I mean, I've never started a fight in my life, but people have come at me or, like, hurt my friends, and I just went, like, full-on, like, rage Super Saiyan mode, like, don't touch my friends! I'm, like, crying and, like, wrestling and, like, it's like, yeah, it's like a weird type of rage. But it's like, I've been beat up a lot, too, though, but mostly when there's more than one person involved. But I've never started a fight, though, you know? I just, when I see something happen, I try to break it up, and if I get hit, I just, like, the drug addict comes out of me, and I'm like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's do or die. It's now.
Oh, yeah, like, so, like, the whole point is, like, if you come at me at a 5 or a 6, and, like, you tag me, I'm coming at you at a 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's do or die. Because I've seen friends die in fights in Florida. Well, I haven't, well, I wasn't personally there. But, like, these guys got in a fight, these firefighters. One guy got knocked out, landed on the sandbar, 1 inch of water, drowned, died. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
From my hometown, yeah.
Like, they were fighting right on the beach near the ocean? The guy just...
No, no. So, you know what a sandbar is? You pull your boats up and you hang around.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand what that is? Like, in shallow water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't have all the boat culture knowledge. I didn't live on a boat.
I told you I was a fisherman. Son of a fisherman.
You know, when another fisherman pulls his net up on your boat, then you just get slap happy.
Dude, in Boston, there are literally, we call them river rats. They're real life pirates. They still exist. They sleep and they live on these boats. And they just anchor them right, like, right outside of, like, the harbors and stuff. And then, yeah, they pull their anchor up, go in, and, like, fucking find somewhere to take a shit and a shower, and they go back out, but they steal people's traps. So my uncle, like, every year we'd go to Boston to visit since I was younger, and then the first day we got in town, we'd pull up traps. So I'd be like, my cousin, obviously my dad and my uncle, who was, shout out Uncle Jimmy, because Uncle Jimmy, like, our moms, our sisters... My mom married my dad, her mom married Jimmy, but Jimmy's still a big part of my life and helped me out so much, even though they both got divorced around the same time, you know?
Mm.
He's like, you're always going to be my fucking nephew. You know?
Right.
You know, whatever. So, like, yeah, dude, they live right on the water. They got a sick little 18-foot Boston whaler. We go out, we pull up the traps. We set the traps out for lobster, you know? And, but the river rats, right?
They would steal your fucking traps.
They're literally homeless people with fucking peg legs and eye patches, dude. Like, meth heads that, like, stand these
boats. So they're not, like, the glamorous.
And go steal them. But, like, one time, like, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to say anything. But, like, dude, like, hey, did you steal my traps? No, that's my buoy. It says my name on it. You know what I mean? And then, like, they'd be like, you're not taking it. And then, like. We'd have to grab it, and then fucking, it's just a trap, so it's not that heavy, and then you just take off, and then me and my cousin are like, pulling so hard, like, go, and they start chasing us, and then, you know, fuck.
They have guns?
No, they're just like, no. They know not to shoot at someone, because they're in the wrong, you know? But it's like, if...
And also, but, you know... You got to get them off balance, because if they're standing up with a peg leg on a boat with an eye patch...
They don't all have peg legs. I saw one with a peg leg.
If they're holding...
Most of them are just, like, look like homeless fucking people.
I know, but if they're holding the net, then you pull it real hard, then they fall over, and the, you know what I mean? Just because...
And they drown.
Yeah, in a sandbar.
Fuck pirates. I mean, besides Johnny Depp, because he did a great job in the... In those movies, but I haven't seen the last, like, three.
I got a serious question for you. Now, it's particularly when you're parked around Tampa, Florida. Is there a lot of, like, wife-swapping culture with the boats? Does all the boats, like, park next to each other and just swap wives, you know? And Vicodins? What happens in Florida?
I'm not from Tampa. I'm from Florida Keys, so, like, east.
Yeah.
You know, well, really, Jensen Beach is where I went to high school. But, it's like, the East Coast, Miami's just like L.A. I would say South Beach is the same as Hollywood, where we are right now. It's like, spend money you don't have to impress people you don't fucking like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, expensive drinks everywhere. That's why I'd rather come to a little cheap bar and fucking tell jokes and, you know, and work on my craft and just keep it up, you know?
Are you more focused on stand-up than girls right now? Are you still chasing the girls around?
I mean, I was never really chasing the girls around.
They were chasing you?
I mean...
They get one look at those dog eyes of yours. Yeah. Those puppy dog eyes.
Well, here's the thing, though. The past couple months, it's been tough because I've had a friend sleeping on my floor. And it's like, it's just difficult. It's a studio, so it's like, it's just not a cool look. And I'm like,
right.
Old school kind of, I'm not saying I'm a fucking conservative. I'm not saying I'm a liberal. I'm a middle of the road kind of guy. And it's like, I respect women a hell of a lot. I got three sisters. My mom is more of a feminist than any of you will ever know. Held down the family for 3 years when my dad was out of fucking work. You know what I mean? She was a paramedic EMT, then became a nurse practitioner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like I told you before. But it's like, yeah, yeah. I don't want to say there's fake feminists. It's equality, but it's all that other stuff. And now I'm losing my train of thought.
Girls.
Girls. Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, I had a girlfriend last year. I liked her a lot. But she was 10 years older than me, so... I mean... We both knew what we were signing up for. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
You ever date anyone with a kid?
No.
I got you beat there. You got plenty of time for that, my friend. Anyway, I want to do some plugs now. March 18th at 7 p.m., I'll be performing at the Ice House Stage 2 with a Dave McNary show. And there's a company called Z Publishing, and there's Louisiana. They publish a book every so often called Louisiana's Best Emerging Poets. And I have a poem in there, which will be available April 29th. You can pre-order now through my Facebook. That's Z Publishing, Louisiana's Best Emerging Poets. The one that's released April 29, 2018. That is... Gotta feature some Hollaback poetry. You know what I'm saying? You got some plugs for me, CJ Kelly?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a show March 16th down there. And I believe it's Hermosa Beach. It's called HT Grill. I'm going to be running sound, but I'm also on the show with some really good comics. I'm not going to say who they are. It doesn't matter. Also, you can follow me at the real CJ Kelly on Instagram. One word. That's with the K-E-L-L-E-Y. I'm also doing a weekly segment here at Next Stage called Drinking with CJ, where I pick up a guitar and I freestyle shit, and it's gonna be great. Other than that, the 24th, March 24th, the Workaholics House. I will be there. You should be there. We'll be square. It's going to be a fun time. I'm going to hit the mic right before. I do the in-between right before the mic and the book show. But it is an open mic, so come and have a good time.
What's the Workaholic House?
So it is... it's where all the guys lived, right? None of them are going to be there. Well, we don't know that, but... They lived there. They shot the house there. The people that own the house now have a comedy show in the backyard. So March 24th.
Oh.
Yeah, get there at like 5:30.
All right, I'll be there.
Get there at 6 p.m. And it's an open mic. And then they have a actual book show with a lot of really good comedians after. So if you want to get stage time or anything, yeah, absolutely get in there. It's really fun. It is. I haven't had a bad time since they started it. And shout out to the Allegrias because they are fucking amazing.
Beautiful. Well, this has been a lot of fun, CJ Kelly. You're always this big
sweetie.
Thank you for doing my podcast. And do you have anything else you want to say? Any beefs from high school that you want to clear up?
No.
Do you have any...
No, I'm good. I'm always down the righteous path. DMT and acid really helped me out with all that. So thanks for having me drink beers in your car.
All right, buddy.
All right, bud.
All right.
Later.
That's been another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Later.